Going to the pictures. When I came to Dublin in the 1950s, the two great pastimes for young people were dancing and cinema going. If you met a girl at a dance and she allowed you to see her home, the next step in continuing the relationship was to make a date to go to the pictures. The usual meeting places were in O'Connell Street, at Nelson's Pillar, under Cleary's Clock, or across the road from Cleary's outside the Metropole. Many romances began in this fashion and blossomed into marriage. There were cinemas all over the city in those days, and every big suburb had at least one. But the latest releases were shown in the city centre, in the Savoy, the Carlton and the Metropole in O'Connell Street, the Capitol in Prince's Street, the Adelphi in Middle Abbey Street, the Corinthian and the Astor on Eden Quay, and across the river in Hawkins Street in the Theatre Royal and the Regal Rooms. All showed general films, with the exception of the Astor, which usually had subtitled continental films, and the Corinthian, which concentrated on the cowboy genre. The film critic of the Evening Herald once had to publish an apology after he wrote that as he was passing the Corinthian, he saw a load of hay going in for the horses. Long queues formed outside each cinema for the evening performance, a separate queue for each admission price. They were patrolled by officious ushers dressed in the cinema livery, a different colour scheme for each cinema. For the Savoy, red and grey, with gold braid down the side of the trouser leg. The usher ensured that the queues were two abreast and didn't block the footpath. Occasionally he would shout out, "Single seats!" and those on their own would get in early. The trouble was that seeing the end of the film spoiled the next showing, so those allowed in early hung around the foyer and the stairs till the film was over, much to the annoyance of the usherettes who controlled the patrons, or assumed they did. Prices ranged from 1 shilling and threepence to 3 and 6, that is, from 8 to 22 cents in today's currency. The Savoy, for instance, had a parterre, a centre circle, a balcony, and an upper tier called the Gods. From the Gods, the screen looked not much bigger than a large wall hanging. If you wanted to impress your date, you went to the dearest seats, but most opted for the middle range. Going to the Gods was a sign of meanness, and usually meant the end of the relationship, unless you had some other redeeming feature. An hour's wait was not unusual, but could not be avoided because the only night on which seats could be reserved was Sunday. On Sunday nights in O'Connell Street, the footpaths were thronged with people seeking to buy tickets on the black market. The touts snapped up the tickets when they became available on weekdays during working hours and sold them on at up to double normal prices, depending on demand. Some touts had tickets for all cinemas, others only one. The difficulty was finding a tout with tickets for the film you wanted to see. There was considerable controversy at the time as to why cinemas could not sell tickets outside working hours when ordinary cinema goers had a chance to buy them. The black market was of course illegal, and plainclothes guardie often brought prosecutions against offenders, but the trade was too lucrative to be ended by mere fines. One or two cinemas sold permanent Sunday night seats, but the problem with that arrangement was that it tied you to a particular film. The Carlton, for instance, sold doubles, two seats in one, usually taken up by middle-aged or elderly married couples on whom the romantic possibilities were lost. But during the week they were in demand by young people, keen on a cuddle and a bit of snogging, particularly in the back row. Another special feature in the intervals between films was the organ playing of Tommy Dando in the Savoy and Norman Metcalfe in the Theatre Royal. The words of songs such as "Keep Your Sunny Side Up" and "Mother McCree" appeared on the screen and the audience was invited to sing along. The Theatre Royal also had a resident orchestra under Jimmy Campbell and its own dance troupe, the Royalettes, who put on a show that included acts such as jugglers, trick cyclists, comedians and illusionists. The capital in Princess Street also put on a floor show and had its own dance troupe, the Rockettes. There was a resident comedian, a man called Kerwin, who had a barber shop in Talbot Street and went by the stage name of Misto. Dublin was a cinema-goer's paradise. Apart from the main cinemas, there were other smaller ones, such as the Masterpiece in Talbot Street, which had wooden seats and a rowdy clientele. Heckling the screen was regarded as normal activity, and two ushers with flash lamps attempting to keep order merely added to the entertainment. The Rotunda, at the corner of Parnell Street and Parnell Square, later the Ambassador, was notorious as a flea pit, and male patrons were advised to tuck their trouser ends into their socks. I remember, too, the New Electric, also in Talbot Street, where the sound was frequently drowned by trains rumbling past. There was the Plaza in Dorset Street, which had a large permanent sign outside: Film Entertainment for the Discriminating. The Deluxe in Camden Street, where my wife's aunt worked in the ticket office. And the Bohemian in Phibsborough, where instead of a ticket, you got a metal disc. I was in them all. Of all the major cinemas, only the Savoy and the Stella, recently refurbished, remain. The Irish Film Centre, now an art house film theatre, is a good place to meet for a drink and a bite to eat. The smaller ones in the outskirts are gone, replaced by omniplex and multi-screens in shopping centres and malls, soulless places where the programme comprises only the main film, ads and trailers. The dance troupes, the orchestras, the floor shows, the resident singers and comedians belong to the past. And the travelogues, the newsreels, the short comedy films with Laurel and Hardy, Abbott and Costello, The Three Stooges and the Marx Brothers, which preceded the main feature, are now the domain of television and home entertainment. But for me, going to the pictures is still as big a thrill as ever. The expectancy, the escapism, the magic as the lights dim and another world fills the screen. The romance is still there too. The holding hands, slipping the arm across the shoulder, and the odd snog.